Welkom bij Bandpraat. Te gek dat je luistert. Ik ben Timo en deze keer, or actually, it is band talk today for the very first episode in English with the Dutch-Hungarian band Light by the Sea. With Anna and Davy, we explore how the band started during a lockdown. We find out what happened in Croatia and the Dutch island Texel. We talk about their very first album, touring and more. Much more. Please enjoy this episode with Light by the Sea. Well, this is the first Bandpraat or Band Talk today, maybe in English. And I'm very honored and very happy to be in this cottage in the south of the Netherlands today with Anna and Davy of Light by the Sea. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for stopping by.
And thank you for joining this way in your cottage. Yeah. yeah, we're here together with the animals. And they might appear in the podcast somewhere, but we'll see what happens. And I was like a normal episode in Dutch for most of the listeners to of Bandpraat. We will follow the timeline and see where you come from with Light by the Sea, what happened, and you know, maybe we can touch upon where you'll go in the future. But we'll see where we go, where this conversation goes. So for now, Light by the Sea, I think we have to go back to love first, but mainly to a lockdown where, in August 2020, Davy started writing, started creating songs, and Anna had an opinion, I guess. and then somehow Light by the Sea started. But can you, can you tell the story of the very beginning of Light by the Sea?
Yeah, first I would like to thank you to have this conversation in English, because I can speak Dutch a little bit. Ik kan Nederlands spreken een beetje langzaam. But this is we just discussed this. It's a really nice opportunity because we have, of course, listeners from abroad. And I live here 3.5 years. And not later after I had moved to the Netherlands, we started Light by the Sea. And it's been a journey. It came alive during COVID times. And, you know, when two musicians are locked in a small apartment back then in Breda, we just started to jam a little bit and just have some ideas, and we didn't want to put pressure on what we were about to do. So when Davy was doing the first demos, I didn't expect anything. Just let's write together and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. And there were not necessarily demos for Light by the Sea of anything that might become Light by the Sea. You just told me you're bored. Just write some music.
I'm never bored.
No, I know. But I couldn't play anymore live. And it was a little bit frustrating, of course, by the time. And you just told me just dive into a recording and make demos and just have fun making demos and listening to them. And then I think the first track ever that I wrote was Eleanor. The beginning of Eleanor. Yeah. Immediately.
Yeah, because, you know, when I moved here because of my other band. It's called M. Mygaard. It's a metal band. And we were on tour with Maiden United from the Netherlands. And I met Davy on tour. And I didn't plan anything to, although we're musicians and I consider Davy as a really, really talented guy. But we didn't want to start making music together, because for me, always M. Mygaard was the number one. And for Davy as well, he had bands like Outside the Relation, and he was pushing it really nicely. But of course, because of COVID, everything stopped. I just released a new album and Davy had to cancel his whole tour. So everything seemed to collapse.
Yeah, that's how it felt back then.
Yeah, and I was like, let's try it. Let's write something together. And then Eleanor was born. And we realized, it's a chemistry also in music.
Yeah, and that's a fun thing because, you are a couple, and being a couple might, be a good thing in music, but it's also maybe some sort of a risk if it doesn't fit together in a creative way.
Oh, yes. And the risk in a way that, you know, we are both, of course, we work in a business, but at the same time, we are big dreamers as well. And when things didn't turn out how we planned, it can affect us really deeply emotionally. And of course, it affects, you know, that day or not our relationship, but we had to set the boundaries regarding where is the border in between lie by the sea, like music and our marriage.
Yeah.
It's really important to do it if you're a couple and you're playing music together, I think.
Yeah, definitely. In the beginning, we had some troubles with that. I remember, like, we expected so and so much of the single releases. And of course, together on the couch, we're talking about, okay, are we going to release this? And this is good, right? Yeah, it's good. It will work, right? Yeah, it will work.
It was, of course, our producer as well. Yeah, guys, you will make it. You will break through with this.
First single.
Yeah. Like, yes, of course.
You're in a bubble.
I'm in a bubble, but it's good. Keep it like that.
But were you insecure at first? Is that what you're saying, Davey?
Not insecure, maybe a little bit too secure.
Too secure.
Because you were like, you spent so much time together with the product and the two makers. And it just stays in that circle. So you're like, it's really good, right? Yeah, we truly feel it. This is the right single. Yes, it's the right single. We're going to do this. And then, of course, you're going to release it next to tons of other releases. Yeah, of course, your release is not the most important release. Of course not. But it didn't affect our marriage or anything. But it was like a little bit difficult. Like, okay, we have to set our...
boundaries.
Yeah, boundaries and our expectations again. And then we have to start again. And then it happens again. And eventually you find like a middle of the road of putting all your happiness in. And the expectations you have of it. And now it doesn't affect... or daily life, or like our happiness anymore. Yeah, not that
sometimes.
Sometimes, of course, because we take it serious. But
yeah, we take it serious. That's sometimes a really big problem.
Yeah, but we leveled it out now. Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and so you all also together run IDVI, the agency,
mm-hmm.
From the beginning of 2020, and as I understood, you had to cancel about 150 shows at that time, Davey, and that's Ooh. When or reschedule 150 shows for the artist from IDVI, and that's when you started. Well, like everything is gone now or not happening. That's actually when you started writing, right?
In that phase
in August 2020. I'm really curious, how did you start writing? Because you spoke about Eleanor as being the first song, the first single. That's where everything clicked together. And this is nice. This is what we're going to do. But how did you start writing? Was it just randomly, seeing what the day brings? Or how did you start?
Kind of. But the thing was, when we were truly stuck at home, we were watching like a lot of DVDs and live concerts on YouTube, and we came across, of course, continuously Phil Collins kind of every night, and a lot of the Brian Jonestown Massacre.
Yeah.
And I remember that, because before we were together, I never made demos like truly with a laptop and recorded. Never did that. And you came with that. So I got this laptop in Hungarian, which I didn't understand, but with Cubase on it. So it was already a step to dive in there. And I was like, okay, cool. I can now truly make a recording. I can put some MIDI drums in. Sounds really cool. So it was like a combination of like a lot of inspiration of all those live concerts and like the feeling, they can play live. Look how fucking cool that looks like, you know? So that combination made me like, okay, I'm going to demo stuff and I can listen to it. But like kind of with all the influences of the Brian Jonestown Massacre and Phil Collins back then.
Yeah, Dead Can Dance.
Yeah, so. Dead Can Dance as well back then, yeah.
Yeah, all these great bands. We were just watching concerts and we were playing music, we're writing music and canceling shows. And didn't know what we're going to do with our company because that seemed really tragic back then. And you don't realize it anymore. I don't know about you, but sometimes I talk to people and they don't realize like in what kind of circumstances we had to live for 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's just gone. But
it's not that long ago, but somehow 2022, like, when everything happened again, was possible again, made it feel like something from the very far past.
Yeah, you tend to forget these things, but it was a struggle for many people.
Yeah. But then, to keep it positive, something good came out of it as well, Light by the Sea. But it wasn't called Lie by the Sea. It wasn't a a project at first, right? But that's when something happened during a trip to Croatia and somewhere in between Croatia and the Dutch island of Texel.
That's true.
It became Light by the Sea, or first it was Light by the Sea in Croatia, and the lighthouse or light was what happened at Texel. Well, can you tell us that story or take us with you on that trip maybe?
It's pretty strange. Davey? Yeah. Pretty strange story. Because we didn't need a band name because we were not a band. We were just recording demos for each other. But then we thought like, okay, this is serious, let's do it. And we wanted, okay, we need a nice band name. And then we watched the movie with Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, By the Sea.
Yeah.
And we really liked it. It's a good movie. And they produced themselves just, I think, the last movie they did together before they broke up, right?
Yeah, I really loved it. A little bit of satire of their about their marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, a lot of people say that you look like Brad Pitt.
In France.
But they're asking for an autograph of him in the supermarket. And they, Brad Pitt here.
But, yeah.
So, but, by the sea, the movie, it was a really big impact, like an effect on us.
Yeah,
and then
we liked the movie.
We were searching for one word with one syllable, like by the sea, and we
couldn't find it.
We couldn't find the word light. And then we were, having a lunch in Texel next to the lighthouse, and there it was.
Yeah, I remember you were like, "How do you call that in English?"
Like, yeah, but
lighthouse by the sea. We got it. Oh, and it sounds a little bit stupid. Okay, light by the sea.
Yep.
There we went.
Yep.
That's a story.
That's a story. That's how it happened. But
we have to travel to Croatia
to Texel.
Yeah,
it's a lot of kilometers to get a band name with four words.
But you managed to. Yeah. That's a cool thing. That's a good thing. And that's where where actually Light by the Sea started. And with a name, you're ready to conquer the world. But then, then you started recording with Eddie Bob in the studio. How did that work? How did you put everything out of Cubase in that laptop with all Hungarian in it? how did it went from there, from demoing, from demos to writing together, maybe to bringing it to Eddie and to the studio?
Yeah, how did we? Yeah, we finished the demos, of course. Then we worked back then. We worked with session musicians. So we would send all the tracks to the bass player and drummer.
Yeah.
Then, okay, they would put their input. We would put it back in the demo. Then it goes to the producer, to Eddie. Then he came with some ideas. We went back to the demo. And then we just went to the studio. And we rehearsed once with the band. We rehearsed a few times the demos. And then we went into the studio.
Yeah, but basically it was a lot of work.
Yeah, it was a lot of work, yeah.
Because, Eddie he's a genius, and he had amazing ideas how to put it basically literally on a tape, because we recorded on an analog tape as well. So it was a lot of work, but it came out really. I still love the album.
Yeah, sure. And that was the thing, because we wanted to record, but we wanted to go a little bit nuts on how many stuff we would put in and all the. What you hear in the records of the 80s from Enya and Clannad, etc.
A little bit of sitar, a little bit of 30 layers of vocal.
A little bit of 30. Yeah, but that we couldn't really find a match with someone that would take the time to do that, because out of our own experience till that point, it was like, most of the time it's in a way, if you want to kind of keep it reasonable with the price, it's like, okay, you're going to record your demo in a high quality way.
Yeah,
that's what you're going to do, which is very fine, but we wanted way more. And Eddie is also a little bit crazy, and he has all the analog stuff and stuff from Sun, Sound City, etc.
We were using equipment that was used by George Harrison.
Yeah, the harmonizer on the snare.
Genesis.
Yeah.
It's
great.
It's also a music, historical museum studio in Limburg, Perth.
Perth. Next to Sittard.
But
that was also very inspirational for us to use that equipment and to get his mind going over our parts and our arrangements. And like a lot of that's what I still like about the record, especially on the vinyl. If I listen to it now, I still hear new stuff, like stuff I forgot that is on it.
Yeah.
That's kind of the goal as well. But
it's a huge
but
work.
That's also what's something that you do in studio, as I understood, is that you work and you touched upon it and in with layers, a lot of layers. Is that what you're saying, Davey, as well? Like, I still hear new things in our own music. Is that, well, like uncovering another layer in your own songs every
Definitely,
time you listen?
Yeah.
Is that a goal in itself in your music?
Like, for me, yeah.
Adding as many layers as possible, yeah?
For me, yeah. I know I'm kind of the only one. I'm the minority in this one, but I love to discover new layers, even from other artists that I love. Just listen to their album, you know, with a different headphone, and oh my God, that's a reverse vocal backing track in.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we love it.
I love it.
Of course, it has to make sense, but that's in on the record it works, because we love to. Sometimes we have periods that we listen to Alan Parsons or Mike Oldfield, and they're like, "Oh, those guys did that, and they took the time." And now, like 4 years later, we are listening to this record for the fifth time, and again we discover something. Jeez. And we wanted to put that in our own record, which is a little bit, we thought it was out of reach, but in our own way we made it.
We wanted to create a time machine, a time travel machine back. That's our motto, you know, to a little bit travel back in time with the magic of music.
Yeah, it's a motto, but it's also kind of the time machine on itself is kind of a concept for you as well, mm-hmm. right? Is it just on the record, or is it something you would like to achieve during live shows as well?
What do you think?
During live shows, I would say that we can perform a really modern set with visuals and modern equipment. We work with a lot of digital stuff live as well, right? The rec unit. And for live, no, we have to, you know, keep up to date.
But it's the also the album, which is recorded in 2021, till the point that what we are doing right now, it has evolved in a way.
Yeah.
We haven't changed the source of what we do, but the package or the product that we present is a little, not more polished, but it's a little bit more in one line. How do you say that?
Aligned.
Yeah. That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah. And then, we've talked about the album a couple of times now, but it was only Dad Makes Icons, released on the 22nd of October in 2021. Mm-hmm. And there are four singles were released ahead of the album as well. And then the first one, already talked about that, Eleanor, the very first song you wrote together. Was it, a no-brainer to release that one as the first single, or did you have a lot of discussion about that? Because there were four singles, about 6 months. It was April 2021 when Eleanor was released. Was there a lot of discussion, or was there a strategy ready as soon as you started? Well, when the product was done, when it was ready, but then you had to release. Was there a strategy, or what was the plan? What was the discussion? What was going on behind the scenes?
Basically, Eleanor was the first track that we ever recorded in a professional studio with Eddie. And we still think, until this point, this is one of the best tracks we've ever written, if not the best one. And we just wanted to put it out there with a really professional music video, which was shot on the coldest day. Valentine's Day 2021.
Yeah. It was -8.
-8, 10. Yeah. And the guys were pouring water on me. And then we went to Hoek van Holland to a really nice cozy set by the sea. It was the best song, and it's still the best song. So there were no discussion. It was obvious which to release. And by the way, the track was really well received.
There was a strategy, but we just wanted to release Eleanor. We just didn't want to wait. at a certain point, we thought like, okay, maybe it was better to release it as a second single.
Why is that?
Because most of the times you won't come immediately with what you feel is like the
Joker
best
card.
Yeah, it's a Joker card. But we were so enthusiastic. We were like, no, the world should listen to this. And then we did Mr. Wonder Man and Chelsea. But yeah, it still feels good. This was the first thing that people that know us heard from us. And I think that was still the right thing to do. And the rest of the singles, yeah, it was of course a strategy to build up towards the album.
Yeah. But how high was the bar for you being in other bands, having a good track record and then releasing something new to the public or maybe the people that you know, going outside the bubble of just the two of you and the session musicians and Eddie? How high was the bar for yourself with the release of Eleanor? How high were the expectations for yourself, Anna?
My expectations was that I would be, recognized also as a good storyteller in another genre, because metal can be a really, it can put people in different, into different boxes, and you're just a metal singer and that's it. But I always communicated with my audience that I have really a lot of admiration towards, death can dance or other genres and other times. And I just wanted to, just put it out like this is me as well. And when I got the first reactions also from my metal listeners, I felt really, really, really good and overwhelmed by their comments. And they keep, supporting Lie by the Sea as well. So this is double good for me.
I think it's really amazing, by the way. But in Am I God, which is alternative metal, the stories in Am I God are the same.
Same.
The same. Yeah. Deep conversations that you open in a way, or tales that you're telling. So I can totally imagine that the people that truly like Am I God because
it's a lot of
Am I God
overlap.
Yeah,
it's not a secret. Yesterday I recorded something for Am I God, and Dave was helping me mixing it, and we just discussed it could be even a Lie by the Sea song. And when we write something Lie by the Sea, it can be an Am I God song as well.
Yeah.
Overlapping now.
Yeah, it's overlapping, but it just comes from our musical taste and from musical persona.
But is it just taste, or is it also a different creative process?
It's the same.
The two different projects?
Am I God is more dark, of course, and Lie by the Sea can, for instance, Celle Le Voyage, which we released not a long time ago. It's a really nice holiday, like party song.
Yeah, summer and 2022.
Yeah. I needed this little bit of light in my musical realm as well, because, I've been going through so much since I moved here, and I told Davey I can't just write all the time metal and dress in black. I'm not like that. If you look around, I really like colors, and I'm considering myself as a really colorful person, and I just needed something that I can express myself in that way as well. So it's really nice to have both.
Yeah, so Lie by the Sea kind of brought balance in your life.
Exactly. It's medicine.
Yeah. But do you feel, if I'm allowed to ask, but do you feel vulnerable sometimes performing live or releasing singles or the album about, well, the stories or personal stories maybe sometimes?
I've never fretful. I'm always comfortable releasing. I'm consider myself as an extrovert in those terms. I'm really open to talk about anything and about opening up, traumas, mental illness, physical illness. And I always put those things into the lyrics, and I always communicate it with my, not fans, followers, because I like to open up and help people in a way as well. So I always feel comfortable.
Yeah. Well, but I admire that. And that's, something, very good in a way, but also...
But not oversharing. No. I keep my boundaries as well, of course.
Well, very good. And, I admire it, the way you do it and what you write as well, the lyrics and the music. So thanks so far. But then the album, there was a crowdfunding process as well with the Dutch Voor de Kunst, how we call it. Yeah. You started that as wanting to create a photo album.
Yeah.
But in a musical way. Can you tell us a bit more about that story, about the album and the way of having, pictures or photos together as part of your life or a year in your life, but in this way the songs were the pictures maybe. Is that how you thought that idea, how you would like to bring it?
Well, of course we wanted to make vinyl.
Yeah.
Because we never made vinyl with our other bands, and we really wanted to make vinyls. We were truly into vinyls, buying a lot of vinyls. And we were like, okay, you can make a photo book and then you'll probably lose it after 6 years, and after 10 years you might have the thought, hey, I want to check 2021 in my photo book, and you can't find it anymore. Or yeah, they're just pictures, of course. And we thought, like, no, we have to do it in our own way, or let's do it in our own way. We are going to immortalize our love and creativity on this moment on vinyl. That was the idea. Mm-hmm. And then came our ideas of, okay, we're making this time machine and we're going to create this sound and we're going to bring it back to 2022. So it lined up really nicely to immortalize this little time capsule of our life and of what we wanted to bring back on a vinyl. So that was the idea, of course.
Yeah.
And the For the Kunst crowdfunding was needed for that. Because we wanted to record like in the old days.
And yeah. I'm still so thankful. I started one crowdfunding back in Hungary and I collected $20 in 3 months. So yeah. I didn't have so much hope for crowdfundings. But I'm still so thankful.
It was really scary.
It's really scary because if you fail, everybody knows that you fail.
Yeah, and that's the thing I discuss with other bands as mm-hmm. well in the podcast. A lot of bands have been working with For the Kunst in a successful way, mm-hmm. but always feel a bit scared, like, oh, wow, this is a big step. Yeah. You're asking something from people.
A lot of money.
And yeah, it's somehow risky as well because you don't want to fail in public. Mm-hmm. But well, in the end you did. Well,
it worked.
Yeah. And you did it. Yeah. But after that, you, when the album was there, is it something that you want to try again or want to do again in the future? Or was it a one-off?
I think you can't do a crowdfunding again for another album of the same band, because the crowdfunding, especially with the amount we got, that step was needed to make it go and continue.
Yes,
that's where it should start, and with that help it should continue.
Yeah.
So going back to another album and do a crowdfunding again, one, I think it was way too stressful in a way.
It was so much stress.
I don't think it's a good idea to do it again. I don't think that's the purpose of the crowdfunding.
We got this beautiful chance and this opportunity, so we're thankful. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. And of course, if you go to another album or to another product, which is a next step or like a next quality step, I think then a subsidy or something else should come in.
A Patreon, a lot of artists do Patreon now.
Yeah.
But then you're continuously giving back, eh?
Yeah.
That's really intense. But
daily job, yeah. I assume. I never done.
Yeah. So no crowdfunding for us anymore.
No more stress.
No. You want to sleep.
Yeah. But you managed, you did it, and that's a great thing, and there's a great record, and I really like the record as well, on a personal note.
Thank you.
But then, we've been talking about studio, we've been talking about records, we've been talking about writing songs, and the time machine. But then you have to, translate all of that to the stage and to playing live. And, well, over the last year in 2022, you've been known by a lot of people as a live band because you've been playing a lot, touring a lot. But it had to start once. And it started with the very first shows at Volt and Gebouw T.
Yeah.
All the way back as a support of Vive La Fête in October 2021. How was that? Those first steps, with the album almost coming up a week before the release of the album, the first shows, getting a band together, a live band, because just to make sure, the band, Live by the Sea, it's the two of you, yeah. And there were session musicians in the studio, and there's a live band surrounding you on stage.
Yeah, although that changed. We always worked with session musicians also live. But since this year, since last year, kind of, we changed that. We now have a steady band.
Yeah.
With everybody is in the band and records with us. So we changed that. That worked and didn't work for us. But the first shows in
Popodium Waltz.
Yeah.
I still have adrenaline circulating in my blood.
From that.
It's
1.5 years ago, but there's still adrenaline left.
Still, because Viva La Fête is just genius.
Cool.
And they're really nice lads as well. When we first saw their, Belgian van just parking in front of the venue and like,
I really liked them a lot as well.
Yeah, immediately like 200 people in front of us on the first show. Of course, since we evolved and we had to play a lot of shows to get the thing that's now happening on stage. But yeah, it was a great opportunity thanks to Davey next to us, sitting next to me, and to got these shows for us.
Mm. Yeah, Gabriel from Glorybox.
Oh yeah, and that, him as well.
Yeah. But it was a little bit strange because these were truly the first shows, but they felt like tryout shows for us as well because we never played live yet. Yeah. But it was like so strange to start your first show in front of 200 people with Viva La Fête. So we're like, okay. And after the first show, we're like, okay, there are some things we shouldn't do anymore.
Yeah.
And then the next show of 250 people, again, okay, there are some things we shouldn't do anymore, but that was cool. And then it was over. Like, and then we truly started rehearsing and making our set like it is right now, you know.
Yeah,
but it was a great start, definitely.
But there was at least from yourself, a lot of pressure for those first shows. How did you prepare for the shows? Was there like an idea of a set or as you were known with a show with light, etc.? Was there what did you have at those first shows? Was there a script or something and a set and a
No.
Was it all thought out? Were there a lot of rehearsals?
Personally, from my side, a lot of practice for vocals because my vocal lines are pretty challenging.
Yeah.
But we used no visuals back then. And sorry, our cat is laying on the...
on my notes.
Paper. Yeah.
So this was it?
So, no. Yeah, just... and I still had my keyboard stand in front of me because I wanted to hide in a way. Yeah. I'm really happy that we're not doing those setups as well. So we've played a lot of shows since that.
But
actually, in the beginning, we were just playing the album. We just played the album.
Exactly
like the
album. Plus, there was like a lockdown. Then we could play these three shows or five shows with a record release show. And then there was another lockdown happening for months. So we were lucky between all this madness.
Yeah.
Really strange.
In a way, we were lucky. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. But the shows were nice eventually.
Yeah. But now they are better.
Yeah. But how were those first reactions from the shows?
Yeah, good, right? Yeah, these shows we sold truly a nice amount of merch because we already took the record and the vinyl that's just arrived. I think a day before we started playing,
fresh vinyl.
Yeah, it was really fresh. But the reactions were really, really, really nice to us because of course Viva La Fête is like really powerful and really dancey, and we on the album we were not
always, although we had some tracks
like. But now the sound is more like that, but then it was truly like the album, but still people really liked it and it worked out. And it's still a little bit strange to think about it because it happened all so fast, and I don't remember that properly, to be honest. Just like we were working towards it for 1.5 years, then it happened, then we went back in lockdown and we forgot about it. Like, it felt so far away again for me.
Yeah, strange times.
Yeah, I don't really recall
like, it. Was it like starting over then in 2022 when things were allowed to happen again? Yeah,
In a way, but it's for every band as well. Like, a lot of tours got cancelled and a lot of bands, like, stopped playing.
Yeah.
They're still not playing. And, you have to build up all over again.
I remember because now it comes back. I don't know why now. Of
because
course, I know.
Your because brain the, cancels all the
I know. Yeah, but... I remember we could play a show in Budapest in a huge venue, a sold out show.
Biggest venue. I remember 2,000 people. It was sold out.
But we couldn't go there because not every band member could come with us. So we were okay. We have one month left. Okay, we need band members. Okay, rehearse. Okay, this is not our band, and it doesn't feel that right because we couldn't rehearse that much. Are we going to play our biggest show ever now in Budapest? And then it got cancelled because we got COVID.
Yeah.
And then we were working towards new shows again. And then, I don't know, the band fell apart again in April, I think, something like that. So it was truly starting again. Yeah. And then we started truly over again. And that's what Light by the Sea is right now.
Yeah.
Because it took us, say like 3-4 months or even longer to truly create Light by the Sea again after the record release and those first shows.
And it's so good because if you would wake us up, we would immediately play that show in Budapest for 2,000 people, like from the bed, like, and we are able to do that. But back then it didn't feel right.
Yeah. No, there was something. There was, it was not the right moment. And we're so happy that we didn't do that.
Oh, I'm so, so happy for the universe. Yeah. I'm so thankful. You know, by the time I was devastated, like I was looking forward to it so much, the biggest show
ever. Of course, yeah. You don't want to miss
but
that.
But now I'm like, thank you, universe. Namaste.
Yeah.
It wasn't the right moment for us to
No.
But you can say that a year after it happened, in retrospect.
Yes. Yeah. Now we can make peace with.
But that's what 2022 did with you, playing a lot of shows after April. Mm-hmm. And, well, gaining a lot of experience together with the band as well, working on the set, getting to know your songs better on stage as well, and the reactions from the crowd reactions.
Mm-hmm.
So what did 2022 do for you as a band in, well, I guess, a positive way?
Now, for me, I can say for me, it made clear what Light by the Sea is.
As a definition of the band, or
as
the
how we are the presenting ourselves, the band.
Sorry to say, the product itself.
Yeah, the product. Yeah, the exactly. Product.
In a commercial way.
In a commercial, we have to think about it as well because we, you know, involve audience and the whole.
Yeah, yeah. But that's for me. Now I know, because sometimes that's the same. If you're writing music or you want you hear keys, but you're not a good key player, but you can hear it, but you can't just put it down, and that's what it was for Light by the Sea with me in those years. I knew what I saw in front of me, how I wanted it to look like or together.
Yeah.
But I couldn't just put it down. I couldn't just steer in the way of like, okay, that's where we have to go to be like that or create this. But 2022 created that because we got a lot of ideas and it's a little bit of a trial and error to reach where you wanna end up, of course. And this is for me as a product, how the band is, the music, the live show. This is what it is for me.
Yeah, and it took us to amazing stages.
Yeah.
It took us to Belgium. It took us to Paris, in the center of Paris.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, it took me to a lot of amazing Dutch popodias.
And will it bring you to that venue in Budapest again?
It will bring us to a festival, the coolest festival of Hungary, in my opinion. But we haven't announced it yet.
Okay.
But we'll do.
That's something to look forward to, yeah.
Oh, yes.
But I don't think we will be invited again from the Budapest venue.
No. You were asking for too much.
Yeah, we were asking a little bit for too much. We asked
eight
for
beers.
Eight beers. And that was eight beers too much. It didn't work out.
Speaking about Hungary, I heard you say in an interview that the album was received very well in Hungary as well. How is that, well, music-wise, are you looking for opportunities in Hungary as well, or are you mainly focusing on touring in the Netherlands? There's a European tour coming up now. We're talking to each other early in February 2023. There's a lot of shows coming up, but is the main focus of Light by the Sea on doing shows in the Netherlands, Paris, maybe France, Belgium, Germany, but also Hungary, or even a broader European tour, maybe?
Yeah, the album was surprisingly well received in Hungary. And I can be honest, we got some really nice record deal offers in the beginning. Some record labels were interested in releasing the album. But of course, they needed like something like, okay, but you guys are not here. You're 1,300 kilometers away.
Yeah.
And compared to the Netherlands, Hungary has a really, really, really small market for music. We don't have basically venues except for Budapest. So, it's a small market, but I'm really, really, really happy and a proud Hungarian that a lot of people are listening to us still from Hungary, and they're looking forward to watch us in Hungary as well. But no, we concentrate on the Dutch market. We concentrate on the UK market because that can be a really teasing for us. And also France and Belgium, they have been amazing opportunities
so far,
for us so far. Amazing audience there, so we're concentrating on these territories mainly.
Yeah. Was it clear from the beginning on that you would be an international act, or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course, we don't know, you know, borders in connection with music, especially if you're singing in English. So, you know, the limit is the sky.
Sky's the limit.
The sky's the limit. Sorry.
Nice. Yeah, but ideally it would be like once in a year you go to Hungary to play.
Of course.
But that's the same what you do with MI Guard as well. Like play here once in a year, go back again. But if that would work, it would be ideal. If you can build it up a little bit further to make it like efficient to go to Hungary to play. But the festival which we'll be playing in August,
can't wish a better opportunity for Hungary. So we're good.
But also thanks to those guys that they want to give us that spot.
Yeah.
Because they know it's the perfect spot. You don't have responsibility for ticket sales, but you will have an amazing audience.
Saturday night on a festival.
So it's ideal.
May great. Night. Yeah.
All right.
Lovely.
So on Playing Live, last year you recorded three singles and two remixes as well. But then there was a special release party with the single Damien at the Blue Collar in Eindhoven, and there was this Halloween special, which I really liked as a concept.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit more about that, concept, the Halloween party, but also about, well, thinking in concepts, or is it something that you, well, are going to do in the future maybe as well as a band, creating concepts like that or tours like that? Well, can you take us with you in the story of that Halloween special?
Halloween special, it was an idea and a concept, and we did everything that we could. And of course, those people who were there with us celebrating, they had a nice time there. We're always thinking concepts. We for instance, we want to make a Live by the Sea festival presented by IDVI agency, where we can be there.
Once. Yeah, I don't know what to say about the Halloween party. I don't know. Yeah. It was it broke Halloween a little bit for us, right?
Oh no, it's okay. Halloween is forever. No, we were preparing with so much, like
we overdid it.
and decoration and so many, you know, costumes and everything.
Yeah.
People didn't like the idea, so they didn't dress up that much. So
Yeah. But we will continue with concepts, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Because I think in a way, with the visuals, it's one big concept. That we always
that's
take
the
with
best
us.
Concept.
Yeah, that's
the
visuals. That's a good one, because we're not a band with only band members.
No.
Well, only instruments. We even have a visual guy, captain, we call him, or a VJ.
Yeah.
So we always have kind of a concept that drags people into our show. Extra senses that are triggered. But going into Halloween or other holidays, no.
Nope.
Stop doing that.
Not those concepts anymore, but more in concepts as, well, creating.
We want
experiences
to,
maybe
yes,
during
experience. The show. Yeah. We want the people, you know, who go to our concert, like we just grab them into our musical world with visuals and with the sounds and everything. We just want to give them this experience, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
The next step is like a smell. We need to bring a smell.
Yeah, I can't light incense.
Not
on
everywhere.
Stage. Yeah. I have these big smoke incenses, but you can't light them anymore.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah, outside we can do. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, maybe there's some opportunities with perfumes or something. Or
yeah, I'm thinking about it. Yep, definitely.
We'll see. Something to look forward to.
Yes.
Well, then for 2023, as I just said, there's a tour ahead, a European tour. Can we also expect some new Live by the Sea songs or, well, maybe only live, but also maybe some new singles, recordings, an album maybe? What's going on with Live by the Sea at this moment and in the near future? What's going to happen?
Well, we're actively recording demos, and soon we will record two tracks, which will be released this year in combination with live shows. And we played in January, we played a show in Bibelo, and we recorded that multi-track and also with some video, etc., which we're going to mix and will be released as a live EP.
We didn't want to release it, but as soon as we heard it, and that was the first gig of our new keyboard player.
And it was
and
crazy.
We nailed it. It was unbelievable. You listened to it. Is it us?
It's
so we want to release that. I never released anything live, but live at Bibelo, it's going to be released for sure.
Life and Loose in Bibelo.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was crazy because we were like, okay, we're going to play there. And it's nice. It's truly a nice venue. I love the venue.
Yeah.
And the guys from the production asked like, hey, do you want to record multitrack? It's like, nah, I don't know. This is the first show of Donnie, our new key player.
Yeah.
We rehearsed.
Once.
Oh, yeah, once, 3 hours and 1 hour of building up, trying to get the in-ears working. Yeah. And it was a half hour set. And then I thought, yeah, no, come on, we just record it. I won't tell anyone, so no stress, just record it. And maybe I can practice a little bit mixing at home. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And we were listening, of course, it felt like a great show. And we're like listening it back, like, oh my God, it's really good. This guy plays amazing. He's gluing every part together. And everybody plays like very punctual. Everything is spot on. You were spot on with the vocals. Like, okay, let's check with some people. I just send it over. Like, yeah, it sounds nice. Is this live? Yeah, it's live. Okay, let's mix it. We are going to release it. We have to make something out of that. Plus, it's ideal because we're not going to write an album now. That we truly feel the album is fresh. This year will be a lot of recordings also for Am I Guard. We record 2 singles, maybe more in the fall. So this is perfect to put in between a nice live.
Plus, we are preparing with a really big thing for the album, Lie by the Sea, which is not Lie by the Sea. But yeah. Those details will come later.
You drop a bomb.
Yeah, there's some secrecy here. All right, that's also something to look forward to then. It sounds very cool, very interesting that you're, dropping a live EP somewhere in the near future. But yeah. Is it also maybe something Lie by the Sea as a live band, catching the essence of what you do?
Exactly.
Is it that?
Yeah, exactly. The thing I told you is that we want to invite people into our musical realm, and we're just really curious what they think about it when they listen to our half hour set.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Plus, like with the musicians we are surrounded by now, with Dylan HN, Marcel, and with Donnie, they're all better than us, of course. They're incredible musicians. But playing with those guys and them playing the tracks is truly like, sometimes, we listen to Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and if their live shows is like one pure chemistry going on from minute 1 to, I think, 3 hours they played or longer.
Yeah.
And with those guys, we kind of have that feeling on the stage, like, okay, things are, every time something is different, but everybody responds to each other within a millisecond and something unique is created on that stage. And you hear that in that recording. Mm-hmm. And that's, yeah. I think we both think it's like really cool that people could hear that too, because of course we played a lot, but it's not that we played in front of thousands of people or something. The people that probably know us, heard us on Spotify or the record or another streaming platform, of course. So sharing this different approach of Lie by the Sea, very experimental by the way, is I think a very good thing to show that what we're doing live, mm-hmm. How we present ourselves, how our world sounds like it.
Yeah, well, very cool. Can't wait. And then also, being a band with the same band members now for almost a year then since last April, did it also change the process, the way you work, or is it still both of you at the core writing, or is it also something that you involve the others in right now in the process, the creative process?
Yeah, the creative process for sure, but the demo always starts with us, so it's always like us in this house and record something together, and then we will put it out.
Yeah, the source is the core of a track is always us.
Yeah,
and then I record bass, synth, put MIDI drums in it, but then it goes out to everybody, like, okay, listen to it. Here you have the track without drums or without bass. Do your thing. But structure-wise, it's set. But the rest is completely creative-wise, it's completely open to them. And that's really nice for everybody to get a little bit more involved as well in the band. And that's still the thing. If they play, it becomes better because I'm a limited bass player or synth or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's... Now we feel that everybody's input is very very, very valuable.
And at its peak.
Yeah. At its peak as well, definitely. Everybody's in it now. Everybody wants to play. Everybody feels it, you know?
Yeah.
Especially after Eurosonic and those shows.
Yeah.
Great.
Perfect time to write.
Yeah. Well, that's great to hear and really something to look forward to new work and the live EP. So it's going to be a very exciting and great year. Well, thanks so much so far. It has been 50 great minutes at the cottage so far. Thanks for all your stories and thanks for everything you want to share and for your hospitality as well. We're going to have a short break now, but after that we will return and we'll have some more questions and we'll have some dices and dilemmas. But more of that after the break.
Roll the dice.
Welkom bij de break. Hey, ben je een band of ken je een band? Mail dan naar bandpraatpodcast@gmail.com en dan kijken we wat we kunnen doen. Daarnaast, hartjes in alle kleuren, reviews. Het helpt enorm om Bandpraat op de podcastplatforms onder de aandacht te brengen. Dus als je wil helpen, laat even een hartje achter, schrijf een review. Het helpt en dat waardeer ik enorm. Daarnaast, Bandpraat is op alle socials aanwezig. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Dus volg ons daar en ja, zoals gebruikelijk, spread the word. Ik zou het heel erg waarderen. En ik vind het altijd tof en leuk en gezellig om te horen wat je van de podcast vindt. En ook als je tips of suggesties hebt, feedback. De helpdesk is geopend. Het helpt. Thanks. Hey, nu snel weer verder. Well, welcome back after the break. Luckily, we're still here. We're all here in the college.
Yes.
We're ready for part two of this episode, of this epic episode so far. Thanks again. I'm looking forward to this next part, the second part of this episode. And it's there are three chapters waiting for us now. First, there's this part that we call the standard questions. Mm-hmm. There's two dices on the table. It's just a great table for dices, to roll the dices. You both have two opportunities to roll the dices and fate decides what question. There's question 2 till 12. Then again, but fate decides what question I'm going to ask you. So you'll both roll the dice twice. And after that, I have five dilemmas ready for you. Some very general and some very personal, but... don't be afraid. and then the last part that we're going to do, it's always the final question of an episode of Ben Praat, of Ben Talk. And that's where Light by the Sea is in 5 years. Where will you go? What are the plans? What are the dreams? So that's the final question that I'm going to ask you in the final chapter of this this episode. But first, and I have a jingle for that, it's time for the standard questions. And that's the dice is rolling in the jingle. But Anna, it's up to you.
Both?
You're first. Yeah, you can roll them both. And then, fate decides what question I'm going to ask you.
Blow it.
There you go. It was spectacular.
Seven.
So what part of being in a band, besides making music, do you like most?
Seeing the world and meeting new people. Definitely. For me. For you?
Too.
That's really about
That's amazing, right?
Exploring the world, exploring. Meeting new people.
Yes, I'm referring back to the Paris show.
Yeah,
for me, playing in an epic venue in the middle of Paris, and we just walk outside and we see the Notre Dame and Eiffel Tower, and that gig was awesome. It was full house, more than 300 people inside. And
euphoric.
It was euphoric. You know, as an artist as well, I just closed my eyes on the stage and I just imagined, you know, all those great artists who were in Paris, who have been in Paris so far. And I just felt that energy. I just soaked in that energy. And that will be a lifelong memory for me.
Yeah.
For instance, that one.
And that's more than just that moment on stage. It's the whole
I'm in Paris.
Atmosphere, the whole... the traveling together to Paris, being there. So that's all part of, life in Light by the Sea, besides making music, it's that whole experience for you.
Yeah, for me, definitely that is.
Yeah.
Great.
It became, I totally feel you. But also it's becoming like a family around the band, which is really cool to see. like this like family. You're doing it together, which gives such a strong feeling of but like if we go to a show, sometimes we're with 12 people or something, you know. It's really cool to see that everybody is involved and we're doing it together and everybody shares the story with each other and everybody has like a little role in Life by the Sea in a way, which is very cool. And like you say, like going on the road, the journey itself, like meeting so many people, like for instance, also in Paris, like the other band, the Desperate Journalists, those guys, you know, it's like, okay, they came from a completely different scene or wherever they came from, and you share your conversations, kind of the same topic, but you're like, in a conversation with each other, sharing your thoughts, ideas, or where you came from. It's a lot of musical taste, of course. I love it. And then the next day you drive to another place and you do the same with other people.
Yeah, it was my
really cool
childhood dream as well. Yeah. I come from the middle of nowhere in Hungary, in the eastern part of Hungary, from a small town. And I was just dreaming about these things and I was projecting myself to all, you know, the cities of Europe, and now I can do it. So it's so, so nice.
It's actually living the dream.
Yes, yes, finally. Finally.
Well, that's great. And I really wish that the dream will continue for you and continue for a long time.
Yes.
A lifelong dream.
Yes.
All right, thanks. That was a great start of this standard questions, this part of the podcast. So, Davy, now the dices will go your way, and it's your turn for the first roll with the dices. Let's see what happens. 3. All right. Well, what's the hardest part of being a musician or playing in a band?
Very cold backstages with one pizza for 12 persons.
A frozen pizza.
Frozen pizza for 13 people.
It's like you're traveling hours, sometimes 7-8 hours, and you play a 40-minute set. You're building up and you play it. Then, of course, you still have a euphoric feeling. You have a drink, but you have to immediately load out. And that was it. Like, all you do it for 40 minutes. But that's with every band.
Or like the smaller shows, like great shows, by the way, like in Utrecht, de Staten, or Zwarte Ruiter in The Hague.
Yeah, great places.
Lovely. Till the point that you truly have to go with all your stuff, walk 200 meters, pay 50 euros for the parking garage, come back and going through the crowd with your rec unit and all this stuff for 1 hour. And then, okay, then you drink the beer. But that's just on the moment. It's worth it, but it's horrible.
Yeah, so the technical.
Stairs.
Technical also things. Horrible.
The logistics.
The logistics,
and
yeah.
The cold backstages, if there is a backstage.
If there is a backstage.
But it's all worth it in a way. And we always fight each other, you know, fight through it together, right? Yeah. Although some, no.
You have to pack out. You can't leave your gear there. So you have to get a big, you know, breath in.
Yeah.
You just.
Yeah. But then, Davy, are you saying that the hardest part of being a musician or being in a band are connected to life on the road?
No, not necessarily. It's like an example of physical struggle with the band. But yeah, the most difficult thing of being in the band?
That's when you put out something and you don't have the effect that you once expected. Like, we want to bring back the forgotten sound and people are not interested in that anymore, you know?
Mm. Yeah, expectations are very dangerous.
Expectations,
yeah. Yeah, we haven't mentioned that in the first part, but the forgotten sound is something, well, at the very start of Light by the Sea, that's what you, in a lot of interviews, told that you would like to bring back the forgotten sounds. And whether that's in specific instruments or in sound as a whole, but did you kind of drop that later on, or is it still something that you're looking for, the forgotten sounds?
It's not that specific in a way that this instrument or like a vegetable, you know, like that's been forgotten should come back. No, that's not what we're doing. It's more like what we just discussed in the break, like slow
conversation. Off the record,
Off the record, we did that, but I'm still going to say it. Like a slow dialogue, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes we open Netflix and we see a 1.5 hour movie, which is like hooks, 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 continuously hooks, and everybody understands what the next hook will be. that part of like what the musicians or like bands had in the 80s, 90s, also 70s, like a clarinet, taking the time to build up to a certain hook or to a certain clue of the story. That slowness and calmness in your set or in your arrangements, we find that very important, and that's why we continue doing it. I think that's also part of the forgotten sound, that we try to, we don't have the illusion that we're going to bring it back and then next year it will be on Radio 2 again for 1 hour with 5 tracks in it. But we want to give that in a way to an audience, or just get it out of ourselves, like, okay, we keep doing this because we don't want to that this stops, and that next year we only have tracks of 2 minutes on the radio. Or it's an illusion, of course, but it's an ambition as well to keep doing that and keep holding tight to it. That's what it is. It's not necessarily a sound or an instrument.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
it's more the concept of sound.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, from our generation as well, and younger people, even they're keen on buying vinyls, and they dig the sound of the 70s and now 80s. That's why we're experimenting more with new wave instrumentation on our forthcoming recordings. So we see it. So we're not, we're expecting something that's truly happening in our generation as well. But it will take time. Because I knew that the grunge would come back in the 2005 and 7, and it came back everywhere, just grunge bands. So it will come back as well. We're just a little bit.
And that's it. And what you say with like the new wave-ish, new wave inspirations, you know, it's a big inspiration for us.
But those
bands,
guys are still touring, like The Mission and,
Chameleons.
They're still active. So if we would get an opportunity to open for them and to have conversation with these, you know, musical icons, that would mean the world to us. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. All right.
What was the question?
we went from the hard part of being a musician to the forgotten sounds.
It's linked.
Yeah. So thanks for the addition. That was very interesting. Thanks for that. So that's where your role with the Dice has brought us, Davey. Yeah. So thanks for that. So your second opportunity to roll the dice, Anna.
Opa.
Oh.
Watch out with the cat.
Here we go.
Seven again.
Yeah, so we have to retry.
7 is my number today. I should look it up. 4.
4. All right. So, With Light by the Sea, what was your most epic live show so far?
Yeah, Paris.
Paris, yeah?
Yeah, Paris. That was the most epic. And also in Leiden with Viva La Fête. That was amazing stage, the best stage I ever performed on.
Gebroeders de Noble.
De Noble, that was the main stage. That was incredible. Yeah, for you?
Yeah, Paris, yes. Because everything was right.
Bibelot, of course.
Yeah, Bibelot was amazing too, Bibelot. Yeah. But these shows, Paris and Bibelot, are total opposites of each other in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Paris it was like, okay, energy, bam, 45 minutes, here you go. Good luck, audience, here we come. And in Bibelot, which was an amazing show and an amazing crowd, it was like, come on, chill with us and we'll get you into our set, and then we peak. We dive into the sound a little bit and we peak again and then it's over.
Yeah.
But that was more a story, and in Paris we were giving a lot. Like, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember other shows.
It's great shows.
But for you, is it connected to the connection with the audience, creating the atmosphere, or is it also the way you feel, or is that connected to the way you feel? There's a lot of questions here, but what makes a show epic for you?
It's chemistry as well. Personally, I can soak in other people's energies, and when I feel them, it makes me even a better performer. When there's no interest in the audience, I don't put myself out on stage as well that much. I do every time 100%, but it just, you know, it's part of my soul. So I feel this connection when there is a connection, or if there's not a connection.
Yeah. But also sometimes when, okay, maybe we have a show and 30 people are inside. If we're on stage and something really cool happens on stage, it can be an incredible show as well.
Yeah, and it's not the number of
In Roeselare. in the Verlichte Geest with the really cold big stage and an open door in -2 and the one frozen pizza thing.
But that's the hard part.
But that was a really good... Nah, I don't want to know. I don't want to say that's a really good show, but it was a really fun show in a way as well, because on stage, truly cool stuff happened. Like, oh, and now I remember. Now I remember stuff. In Brussels. That was like horrible, because it was an incredible show, but getting there was very difficult. We got a fine for the van, everything. The sound was like, we came on stage and he was like, yeah, we have 4 monitors. So yeah, we were with 5 people. Ah yeah, and only one is working. That was the thing.
I know.
But that was like the audience started getting into it, and I think we even jammed for like 20 or 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of cool stuff started happening, and that was a really, really memorable show for me. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, it was not like that we were on a, how do you say it? Like the place that we were, where we really wanted to be, but the show itself and the playing together was amazing. So it can make a really good show, or like a highlight.
Yeah.
For me, at least.
For me too.
Oh, nice.
So it doesn't always have to be an epic show from the start.
No, not at all.
It can be energy-wise with the crowd, or it can, well, depend on things happening during the show that makes the show epic for the both of you.
And honestly...
Or independently sometimes, maybe.
Yeah, sometimes you're not always on the same page.
No.
But that's good. But also, sometimes for me, like, rehearsing with the guys can sometimes be just as fun as a show, because I love to play. You know?
Yeah.
I just love to play. And if we can play together and we're playing our tracks and it sounds amazing, or we're like, we're really feeling it, then a rehearsal can be sometimes just as nice as a show.
A special energy in the room.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Well, thanks for this one. Then the last one is yours, Davy. So.
Like a dobbele.
Yeah, like a dobbele. Take the dices and 5.
5.
Yeah, this is a very personal question, of course, but... What's your best track?
Well, the best track is always the next one that you're going to write. Yeah, that's always the thing.
Yeah.
Or the demo version of the latest track is always the best one, because you're listening to it like new.
It's on top of your mind.
Yeah. So it's difficult to say. Yeah, of course.
It can be the best track in a lot of different ways, of course.
With for now, like production-wise and what we put in, and... I think it's Eleanor for me. Because it's a track, it's a little bit strange. Everybody that tried to study the track to, you know, play it live has always said like, yeah, really strange structure. How could you write this?
11 verses or I don't know.
Yeah. But that's something you won't write again. And it's like a joker card that sometimes something strange comes out and it works. 9 out of 10 times you write something strange and you have to rewrite it because you forgot a chorus. Or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But with Eleanor, that worked out very well. And for me, Chelsea and Pisces Moon, like the very trippy tracks. I really like that, because it's not that common to write. It truly comes out of a feeling and a very repetitive beat or thing.
Yeah. Trance.
So out of minimalism, you're creating a whole track, which I really like, because it's not a natural way of writing. It's a coffee machine.
Yeah.
But these are the best tracks for me.
Yeah, but they're all from a different era as well, maybe. Or the first one was Eleanor, of course.
Yeah, Chelsea was from the...
Chelsea was from the album, but
from
later.
From the album, a little bit later. And Pisces Moon came...
Last summer.
Yeah. But that was... We were home and it was just a little thingy on the guitar. And I was like, oh, I repeat it. And then I recorded it with my phone, put it on the Bluetooth speaker, put a lead line on it, and there was a track. That was actually the track.
Yeah, plus I had the vocals.
Yeah, of course, the vocals, but and sitar.
Sitar.
But that I like to... sometimes you write, and normally you would write in a structure that you know, and if something comes out as anything but a structure, but it makes sense, I really like that, because you can't catch it, and you can't write it again. You can't sit for that and write something like that. You have to wait when it comes.
Yeah.
So those tracks are special for me.
Yeah, and for the lyrics, I can truly sit down and I just listen to these repetitive melodies, and it just lyrics just come out from me. It's like I put myself as well into a trance and it just comes out. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't pick a number one, by the way.
Eleanor for me.
Yeah, but I like Damien too.
Yeah, Damien.
Damien is, yeah. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always hard picking your best song, but it's, yeah, your best track or... But, well, there was a story here, and thanks for that. So, all right. So, so much for the dices and so much for the standard questions. It's time for the dilemmas now. So there's five of them. Some of them for very general for both of you, for the band. Mm-hmm. And some of them a bit more personal. But the first one to start with is general, and I just throw it on the table and it's up to you, well, to pick one. It's the concept is there's two options and yeah, well, you're with your back to the wall and you have to choose. So the first one is, if you have to choose, club show or festival gig?
Festival.
Festival.
Club show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're, you don't have to fight here at the table, but Anna. Can you explain?
I like the festivals better because it's usually better weather as well. I'm a summer girl. And
summer vibe.
Yeah, summer vibe. And yeah, sometimes when we get a nice like slot during, you know, late afternoon, that I have a chance to check out bands before and check out bands afterwards. So that's really nice vibe. I really like festivals.
That's also part of the fun playing.
Yeah,
festivals.
It's not just us or we are opening for a band. There's like a whole community there and a whole like different bands that like I like to check out and just, you know, walk around, just hang around, not just in a backstage, you know?
Yeah. And also that's what I hear from a lot of other bands who prefer festivals,
mm-hmm.
is that they have the opportunity to win over people for their music, to
exactly
find new souls.
Well. Yeah.
That's so also part of what you want to achieve playing at a festival?
Definitely. Yeah, that's I think for every band, that can be an achievement. Yeah, definitely. So for me, definitely festivals.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And David, you're on the other side. You prefer, you have to choose. You want to do everything, of course, but if you have to choose, it's club show for you?
Yeah. Yeah, of course, I like festivals. I don't... we're not going to cancel the next festival. I don't know. Club shows, I feel in a club show, you can present it exactly the way that you want to present it. And because, yeah, we mentioned a few times now, we bring our visuals. Well, we're not a band that gets booked very regularly at the headline spot on a festival, which means it's dark. Which means you can actually use your visuals. And in a club show, I have the feeling that we can truly get a little closer to the audience and truly bring the show exactly how we want to. That's it.
Yeah.
And I like that.
I don't agree. We always play it on a festival during evening.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. When did we play in the afternoon?
Yeah, we didn't play that much festivals, right? Yeah, okay. Breda Bars. That was 6 o'clock in September. That's pretty light.
Okay, Breda Bars was... festival we were so looking forward to, but it was the worst weather in the history of Breda Bars. It was not just raining, but it was pouring rain all day, and
the whole park was kaput.
Yeah, nobody could walk because of the mud. I felt so sorry for the organizers, which are lovely people.
They're doing the crowdfunding now as well, eh?
That was not a great festival.
Yeah, it's a great festival, but the weather was.
Yeah, the weather.
Which festival did we play in the night then?
Where was it? Two fast.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah, does in the night.
In the buurt ook.
In the buurt.
Where did you? Doesn't matter. But we didn't play. Never played in during the daytime. We always played in the night.
I want to fight. I don't know.
Yeah,
there's some
fight.
Discussion.
Let's fight.
But in conclusion, there won't be any cancellations by Light by the Sea because we won't play your festival because
David
only
the
wants
old backstage is better.
David prefers club shows, but you want to do it both. But you prefer something if you have to choose. You there's discussion here, and that's a good thing. That's nice. Thanks for that. That was the first one. Let's go to the second one. If you have to choose, studio or live?
Studio.
Anna Studio, Davey?
Yes, sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But
you disagree again?
Nah, both. This is in the winter studio in March, April, October, November. I don't know.
So it depends on the season.
Yeah, it depends on the season.
Of course.
But now, if you ask me now.
Studio. Yeah, but of course, in the middle of July.
Plus we're going to record.
Studio.
Yeah.
So both.
Studio.
Well, yeah. And you're doing both, actually.
We're doing both.
Like to play a lot, but you also like studio time and like so to write and record.
Yeah. That was, I remember the first, here we go again. I remember like in the, when we first went to Eddie, the producer.
Mm-hmm.
That was so cool to dive in and to record and have all the equipment and
December,
go completely nuts. 2 weeks, gone.
Yeah.
Just gone. Just the time went so fast and I love that creative process in the studio.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, but Anna, you were very fast with your answer.
Because now it's winter. Because now it's winter, and in the winter I write the most for every band I'm in. In winter I'm really productive in writing, you know, just in the studio. But of course, in the summer you can't lock me in. I'm always outside.
Yeah.
Depends on the weather.
Depends on the way. Okay. All right. So yeah. Well, that was the second one, but I do have a third one. What do you prefer? Being a band or being a company together? Because you also run IDVI together.
My answer, you wouldn't like it.
I don't know.
It's a hard one, I know, but
I'm more down to earth. So for me, like, our job is the number one in a way that that's the most important thing. And of course, if you're just two people running a company, like, of course, we work with several other people as well, but we have so much responsibilities and we have to make ourselves a living like every month. So for me, always job comes first. And then anything else can come later.
I agree. Of course, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And it's also, it's not that it's so, it's very serious what we do, but it's also a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to have the company and do.
I can talk another podcast about it. It's,
yeah.
It's unbelievable what we do and what we can create for other musicians as well and what we get from other people as well, like bands that we help and, you know, building up together and taking part in their, you know, musical journey. It's a big honor
and a lot of responsibility
and a lot of work. We work a lot
because it's kind of the expectation we were talking about on Light by the Sea.
Yeah,
that expectation of someone else is in our hands, which is very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But
you really feel that, the responsibility.
Yeah.
Of course, this is their dream as well, like every musician's dream, like we we step into their own, you know, zone, like personal zone, their hearts with what we do and what we can create with our company, which is booking shows and promoting music and help other bands. So it's a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of time as well. So, yeah.
It's amazing because you get so much back from it.
Yeah.
Like energy. But of course, if we're playing with Light by the Sea, that for that weekend, that becomes the most fun thing. In a way as well.
Yeah.
It's that's also the thing, you know, because we cluster our shows and of course, so from Monday till Friday, say 4 o'clock, IDVI is the most fun and most important. But in the weekends, if we're going to play or we have a week of shows, then that for that moment, it becomes the most fun part. IDVI is always underneath that and always the most important thing because also if we have shows with Light by the Sea, anyone can call us, for bands or for the management. Or
sometimes
whatever,
we have 5 shows like for other bands on the same day, so my phone is always ready.
Yeah,
we have to help another band.
Yeah. The van with the laptop.
Yes, of course. Yeah. We're always office. But the thing is, you know, we sometimes we play on a Sunday as well, and we get home really late, and then on Monday we have to like get back to job, and we start the day early.
Yeah.
So it's a lot, it's lot of music.
Yeah, but combining Light by the Sea and IDVI is somehow maybe best of both worlds.
In a way, but I'm really strict.
But you do that really good.
I have to sometimes,
but I really like the combination, and it's not, we kind of have now, Live by the Sea is actively touring, and my guard is like, now yeah, you're writing, you know, but booking shows and being continuously busy with shows, going to other shows,
yeah,
to all the bands we book, because we try to get us, yeah, go to see most of the bands we mm-hmm. we that are playing via IDVI. But then it starts, you know, if you see those other bands and you're like, oh, this, it's happening, then I need to show myself as well, you know, sometimes to go, oh yeah, here we go again, to get that feeling, which also really helps for me, at least, like, because we play a lot of shows, we see a lot, it helps me, and I think you as well, to understand completely what an artist needs when they go to a show, or the logistics or whatever. We understand.
Mm-hmm.
We understand. So that's truly best from both worlds, and it helps each other, because of course, yeah, IDVI helps in a way, or strategies and also network, of course, for Live by the Sea, and being on the road with Live by the Sea, and also our trial and error helps putting input into IDVI and go passing it through to other bands, of course.
Yeah, but
so it works.
Again, we have to set boundaries as well, because we can't push that much Live by the Sea.
No, of course IDVI not. Of course as well. Not.
So that's the thing, like, it's the three pieces of a cake, like, you know, personal relationship, like we're a married couple, plus we have a band, plus we have a drive, a company.
Yeah.
I have to. And usually I'm the responsible making these boundaries.
Oh, yeah, I can't.
Otherwise, it's just overlapping each other and everything.
Yeah.
It's just
weird. Yeah, but I think it's good that you, well, keep that in mind and secure that boundaries as well, and to set them, because it's all fun and there's a lot of things, well, that you can combine. But then also if you're doing everything at the same time, in the same weekend or the same day, then it might be dangerous as well, of course, or somehow get out of hand or...
Oh, yeah, that as well. Yeah. And for instance, just a quick example, if we books, like we have a roster of bands and we include Live by the Sea as well, but some promoters don't like the thing that we do. Like, we can't push our band. Like, if he or she wants to book another band from we're
course,
so happy. So that's the thing, like, I'm really keen on, like, don't over push.
Work related Live by the Sea is always the last one to come in and be pushed, of course.
Yes, and we don't spend that much time on Live by the Sea, like, it seems like we work for IDVI, and that's our day, basically.
That's the most important.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for all these additions. It was a very rich dilemma, but thanks for that, and for sharing your insights in your daily job, your daily life, and combining all those great and fun things, and things that you're doing very well, I think.
Thank you.
So number four, and that's a personal one for you, Davey, but it's a guitar question.
Ooh, yes.
So if you have to choose acoustic or electric?
Electric.
Yeah, why?
Good question. I don't know. No, well, eventually you have those Boss pedals with acoustic simulators, so you can still play acoustic.
But that's cheating.
Oh.
Right.
No, I think acoustic of electric, because I like to come up with sounds and combine very atmospheric sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I like amps a lot. So, yeah, electric guitar, you know, kind of. I got an acoustic guitar and I wanted an electric guitar so bad.
Yeah.
And I still have that, because I still keep buying new ones. I still want them very badly. And with acoustic guitars, normally I write on acoustic guitars. But live, I'm not picking up an acoustic guitar. I think it's always too much of a hassle to get an acoustic guitar on stage or to change stuff. So I'm always going back to electric guitars. Plus, they look nice.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're black, sometimes they're blue, with holes in it, or P90s. You know?
Yeah, but is it also adding to, what we talked about earlier, working in layers and adding many layers? Are there more opportunities for you there with electric guitars, or is acoustic guitar just another layer for you, or what does it do?
Now it is. Yeah. Because in most of the tracks, there's acoustic guitar in it.
Yeah.
You might not hear it, or
But they're there.
They're there. Many, and most of the guitars are 12 strings, acoustic 12 strings in the back. But with electric guitars, yeah, you can make more layers in the, yeah, that's bullshit, by the way. It's not true. But fucking dilemma.
Electric. You have the most beautiful electric guitar in the world.
And I just love it. They look so beautiful, and sometimes they sound so aggressive. Mm-hmm. But you can truly talk with the guitar, you know. And with acoustic, it's a little bit, it's more delicate in a way. It's more delicate in a way of playing. And with the guitar, it's more external that you can. I think an electric guitar is a little bit more rich vocabulary in a way. And I like that. Plus, it's never ending. With amps or effects, and with acoustic guitar, it's very serious because it's you have to play it and you'll be the ones making it sound nice, you know. So yeah. it's a little bit harsher in a way. And with an electric guitar, I can hide way better that I can't play that well. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, truly.
That's your words.
You're a really good player.
You are.
No.
I always tell him he doesn't believe it.
All right, but thanks for this one. And this is a true guitarist dilemma.
It's so difficult to answer the question, in a way. Now I realize.
But thanks, you did well. we were able to explore your way of working and playing guitar, being a guitarist as well. So thanks for that. And then the last one is for you, Anna. Mm-hmm. If you have to choose 80s wave or classical music?
Oh.
That's a really good one for you.
Oh my God! Yeah, I'm a graduate. I graduated in a conservatory.
Yeah,
I'm a flutist. I was a professional flutist, not anymore because I'm not practicing 7 hours a day. But classical music. I would go for classical music still because everything comes from that. Like Debussy, for instance. Like the most of the art rock bands weren't existed if Debussy would have not been in the musical history. So I would go for classical music, and I still must miss classical music as well a little bit.
It's just where you
ugly rock.
But it's actually where you come from in a creative way, in a musical way.
Yes.
And it's still, well, it still plays a very important part in what you write and what you do, I guess.
Definitely. Yeah. I listen to a lot of classical music. Yeah, and it's really nice that I started to learn classical music from a really young age because I'm able to read, sheets with hearing. Playing instruments is another thing. I don't consider myself as a good instrument player. But listening, you can put anything and I can write it down on a sheet, like on different. So that's really good, and I'm really thankful for my parents that they put me to study classical music when I was a child. So I will do it the same way with a child. No rock and roll until age of 16.
Wow.
Only Beethoven.
But first Bach. Classical music, yeah.
Yeah, just kidding.
All right, but thanks. Mm-hmm. You both survived 5 dilemmas. You did very well, so thanks for that. In a spectacular way. And there were, well, in the end, there are no real fights here at the table in the cottage in the south of the Netherlands. And
later.
The fights will follow later. Well, thanks so much so far. Then we have only one part left. And that's the final question of every episode of Ben Praat, Ben Talk today. And that's the question, where will Light by the Sea be in 5 years? Where will you go? A dream, or maybe you have a plan ready somewhere?
Didn't we answer this question back in...
In Eurosonic.
In Eurosonic, I think this was the That Might Dice question.
I think that was
pretty... Yeah, that was the 1 year question.
The 1 year,
expanded it to 5 years now.
No, I'm not the... I'm planning anything more than 1 month. the same, which I probably answered you 1 o'clock in the morning, that we want to impress people. We want to get recognized in a way that we do something special. And if we stay in underground, that's all fine for us. We just want to continue playing music and writing music. That's without any boundaries and from our heart and from our soul.
Yeah.
So you want to keep the Light by the Sea train rolling.
Yeah, in a way, and you know, just playing for more and more people, that will be nice, bigger venues, and play some nice support shows. And my big dream is to have a soundtrack of a really nice movie, to give a soundtrack of a really nice movie or series. That's, I think, is a really cool thing, like for licensing thing for brands, opportunities.
Yeah.
That would be really nice if I would, or we would be asked to, you know, make a soundtrack for something. I would really enjoy that. I haven't told you this.
No, now I know. No.
There's some new information here. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Good idea.
That sounds good.
Yeah, but we talked about it, by the way. I just, within 5 years, I have no clue. How can you have a clue? You can only assume or like dream huge.
Yeah, dreams. Yeah. I believe in that. When you dream, you just gather the energy and you put it out to the universe, so it will come back to you. So you just have to just project it. You have to watch, like imagine like imaginary television in your mind, and you just see a movie and you hear your music underneath it, and in a way it will happen.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Maybe plus, for a beer commercial.
Yeah, but I think you do that. You do 50% that, and then I do 50% checking for a good sinking company.
Okay.
Then maybe we should combine our strengths then.
Yeah.
I think I would, I'm going to answer, so for 5 years, I hope that we come up with a very good concept, like combining music with something,
mm-hmm.
but in a physical way. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about with Marcel, you know, or visual guy, like also artists, to create something unique in a way.
Volume,
with our music and art, or, something very temporary for a day that is gone. So not on a record or like a track that will be online, but like for one moment. Like people are entering our world, and the next day when they're not at that show, it's gone. So it's in your memory. Something mm-hmm. like in an art way, or with truly with our physical art or something like that. I would love to do something like that. So not only focusing on live show and music.
To Light by the Sea popping up at places.
Right? Yeah, maybe a pop-up store in Breda.
Sounds cool.
Why not? No.
Keep experimenting.
Ideas. It will come. I know it.
Yeah, we shouldn't push it too much.
No.
It will come.
Yeah.
But altogether, it sounds like a great dream and a great plan. As well, keep on going, writing, doing nice support shows, headlines someday maybe, festivals. Mm-hmm. But also dreaming and thinking about new concepts, new mm-hmm. ways of, well, being creative and creating new music and bringing it to a crowd, to an audience. And that sounds great. Sounds like great plans. And I really hope that, things will go very well for you. And I wish you all the best with that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much again. And, all the best.
Thanks.
Dank je voor het luisteren naar Bandpraat. Je mag de komende tijd iedere week op maandag een nieuwe aflevering verwachten. Dus abonneer je op Bandpraat in jouw favoriete podcast app en mis niets over al die toffe bands en artiesten die Nederland rijk is en die ik mag gaan spreken. Hey, mocht je de podcast nou tof vinden, heel erg leuk. Laat gerust hartjes, likes en reviews achter. Het helpt namelijk enorm. En je kan via patreon.com/bandpraat lid worden van de club of steun Bandpraat gewoon door al je vrienden erover te vertellen en door de podcast eindeloos en overal met iedereen te delen. Heel graag, tot de volgende Bandpraat!